so I had her full attention. You know me better than that.
I thought I did. But the Derek I know would never get into a relationship and screw every bit of focus we have just months before we nail the bastard. I've worked way too hard, and we've been chasing him for way too long to lose this momentum, or to let Frankie ruin this.
I carefully led her back toward the counter, poured two shots of vodka into a new tumbler, and handed it to her. I'm as dedicated to this as you are. You have my word. She drank until it was empty and placed the glass back on the counter. If at any point I feel like you're choosing her over this, Hayden, stop. I'd heard enough. I may not have told her what was going on between me and Frankie, but I'd always been honest with her otherwise. She had no reason to doubt my focus or my desire to destroy Randy. Trust me. When I say you have nothing to worry about, I mean it. Her eyes bored into me for several seconds before her shoulders relaxed and her posture softened. She poured another drink and slid it over to me. So do I tell Mom about Randy's employee? Finally, we were back to where we needed to be. No. I lifted the glass to my lips and shot the vodka down. Don't say a thing to her until you get him to sign with your firm and have his statement on record. Then there's no turning back. I don't want to get her hopes up unless we're absolutely sure.
Jesus, Derek, she sighed as she rested her arms on the counter.
I know what's riding on this. I've always known. But now that it's so close, it feels even bigger. I knew where this was going, but her job was to think with her head, not her heart. I needed to remind her of that. I want you to be extremely careful. Talk to me or someone at the firm before you make any other moves. As a lawyer, she knew the penalties if she got caught doing anything illegal. She also knew what she could get away with, what she could bury, and what the defense would be looking for before this went to trial. If there really was dirt on her hands, and I had a feeling there was, I didn't want them getting any dirtier. And if at any point you need me to do something, something you can't or shouldn't do, then just tell me. You're in deep already. I don't want you in a place where you can't get out. She said nothing, but I saw the appreciation in her eyes. Now go get a broom so I can help you clean up all this glass. While she walked to the closet, I sent Will a text asking him for Bree's phone number. Even though things with my sister were still a bit messy, my mind was on Frankie, too. The XOXO she'd used at the end of her last text didn't sound like her. I suspected it might have been Bree. If that were the case, I needed to speak to her. Hayden returned with a broom and dustpan. "Have you eaten?" she asked. "Nah." I grabbed the broom from her hand. "I came straight from Timber Towers. I didn't have time to stop for something." "I'll make a deal with you." My sister was a princess. I knew where this was going. "I'll clean up the mess. You go order food. Does that work?" She smiled.
"Thanks, brother."
She headed toward her bedroom. "I'll be back in a minute. I need to change." As I started to sweep, my phone beeped. It was Will texting me back with Bree's number. I waited until I heard Hayden's bedroom door close before calling. She answered after the second ring.
"This is Bree."
"It's Derek. Is she okay?" She sighed.
"Hang on a sec."
Rustling followed as if she had put her hand over the speaker. Then I heard her breathing and the sound of a door shutting.
"She's okay."
"Why did she cancel our plans tonight?"
"She got... tied up."
Tied up? The only person who tied her up was me, with my flannel, to my goddamn headboard. I didn't like this at all. "Did you send me that text, Bree?" That got no reply. "Listen, if it's work-related, then that's all you have to say, and I won't ask questions. But if there's something personal upsetting her, then you need to tell me." Silence followed. Whatever was going on had nothing to do with work.
"She's with me, and she's safe. I've got everything under control. She'll call you in the morning."
I hated that I couldn't take command of this situation. I knew I could put more pressure on Bree, but I had a feeling she approved of me. I didn't want to jeopardize that. "I'm trusting you," I said.
"I know."
I hung up, staring at the glass on the floor. What the fuck could have gone wrong when things had been so good between us? And then it hit me. Reed had sent me a text. He must have sent Frankie one, too. I wondered how much he had uncovered about me, and how much he had told her, and if it was making Frankie question who I really was.
2. Frankie. I really didn't understand why we were at Anna's apartment, or why she and Bree were staring at me as though I were about to break. I had told them in my office that I'd made a decision, and I thought I was clear. It was a difficult one, but it wasn't going to break me. And yet, when I tried to voice it, they stopped me, cut me off and said that before I spoke another word, they needed to talk to me. So after my final showing, Norm dropped Bree and me off at Anna's. I'd noticed the cookies as soon as we arrived, and the brownies, too, decorating a tray in alternating patterns that had been placed in the middle of the coffee table. They were from the carrot cake. I recognized them easily. Next to the tray were 2 bottles of Pinot Noir, the same wine Derek had sent us, a detail I wasn't oblivious to either. They were feeding me all my favorites, sugar and wine. What they weren't feeding me was an explanation of why I was here. So far, there had been nothing but small talk and silence. The silence made me think, and thinking led to Derek. My brain needed a rest from that topic. "Can you please tell me why we're here?" I said finally. Bree returned to the living room and took a seat next to Anna, who nibbled the corner of her brownie and placed it back on her plate. I wasn't sure it was possible, but she looked even thinner than normal. "Have some patience, doll. We're trying to figure out the best way to knock some sense into you." "Knock some sense into me?" I reached for a brownie. I hadn't planned on caving to the sweets so quickly, but they looked too good to resist, and I was feeling a little pressure now. "You haven't told us your decision, but we know what it's going to be," Bree said. "So yes, you need some sense knocked into you." The frosting swirled around my mouth before I spoke again. "You promised me that I had your full support." I looked at Bree. "You both did. So I don't know why you're fighting me on this. I told you, it's either Derek or work. I can't do both, so I choose..." "Doll, I'm going to be honest with you. You're being ridiculous." I reached for a bottle and filled my glass, swallowing down half a cookie with a large gulp of wine. "Well, I think..." "I agree with Anna," Bree said, interrupting me. "You haven't been this happy in a really long time. Why would you change things with Derek just to please your dad?" I thought about the hours I worked, the schedule I tried to keep, the sales that were required, the numbers I needed to maintain and grow. It was already a challenge managing it all, and now I was going to be responsible for the residential side of our company, the side that held the majority of our business, and all the agents who would be directly reporting to me. I would never have told my father this, but as excited as I was to be given that division, I was scared, too. Scared that I couldn't manage it all. Scared that I would disappoint him. Scared he would regret his decision. The weight of it all was intense. "I don't want to change anything," I admitted. "Things with Derek feel so right." If I were being honest, my feelings for him were intense, too. And scary. And they were so strong, especially for knowing him so briefly. "But my father made it clear that I haven't even begun to sacrifice like I will once I take over. A change has to be made, and I'm disappointed in you." Anna's words hit me like the backside of her hand. She hadn't said that to me since I was in high school, when I failed geometry because I couldn't wrap my head around a particular proof. Anna taught me to look at the shapes as though they were blueprints, things I looked at every day while working at my father's company. My average slowly rose, and I passed the class with a B. Her encouragement helped. I could have used it now. "You've always been a girl who goes after what she wants," she continued. "And you never let anything come between you and your goal. When your clients can't agree, you help them find a common ground. When your employees argue, you help them work it out. So why would you deprive yourself when it comes to your own life? You let your father rule your business decisions. Now you're letting him rule your personal ones, too." That angered me. So I ate my feelings, restocking my plate with another brownie and cramming it into my mouth.
It sounds like you've got quite a man there. He obviously cares about you, and I can see how much you like him. But now you're going to toss that aside so you can work more? For your father?
It's what I want, I said.
I don't believe you, Anne replied bluntly. I think you want your job and Derek equally, and I think you're afraid of what wanting him means.
Anne is right, Bree said. You love him, don't you? I didn't answer. I put the plate down and drank the wine, holding the glass to my lips until it was empty.
You love him, and that scares you to death, Bree said.
You're freaking out over the demands your father has given you, and you're pulling away from Derek because that's easier than facing your feelings.
Bree.
She slid to the edge of her chair. Tell me I'm wrong. Did I love him? I knew I was absolutely crazy about him. When he spoke, a flutter deep inside my chest came without warning. He made me feel full. And yet somehow, I always wanted more of him. When I wasn't with him, I wanted to be. Even now, with two of the most important people sitting across from me, I wanted to be with Derek. Then there was also our physical bond, the responses my body gave to his touch. He made me scream, shudder, feel sexier than I ever had. I had a definite sense that eventually he would satisfy all of it, my sexual fantasies, my emotional desires. But I knew all too well that everything could so easily turn to nothing. I learned that when Reed took away my everything. Having it all wasn't possible. It was the part of the story I hadn't told Derek, the part I hadn't told anyone but Anna and Bree.
You're rubbing your stomach, doll, Anna said softly.
Our eyes met, and I looked down. My fingers were circling my navel. I poured myself another glass. It was time to confess my feelings, as hard as that was going to be. I took a deep breath, the wine warming my chest, helping to calm me. You're not wrong, Bree. I glanced at Anna. When I think about what I want, I always remember what I lost.
But if you give up Derek, Anna said, you're going to lose again.
I know, I whispered. And you'll be giving up someone who loves you, Bree said. Her eyes pleaded with mine. You know how badly Derek wants you. You can feel how much he's changing you, how much you're changing him. You will never forgive yourself if you throw this away, especially if you're doing it for your father. I could hardly breathe. The air in my lungs felt like it had frozen. I did know what I would be sacrificing if I gave up Derek. And I wasn't entirely sure I would forgive myself if I let it happen. The decision felt heavier and much harder to make than it had earlier.
Talk to him, Frankie.
I looked at Anna again as she spoke.
Be honest with him. Tell him what you're struggling with and why. Maybe his response will surprise you.
I sighed, my body deflating into the couch. I'll think about it, I said finally.
Well, he's not going to let you ignore him in the meantime, Bree said. When Derek wants something, he wants it now.
Bree was right. Derek was relentless in his pursuit of me, whether it was my body or my thoughts or my emotions. He found a way to get what he wanted. And I seemed to always give in to him, not just because I wanted him to touch me or be inside me, but because I wanted to be closer to him. I wanted to feel his emotions with every thrust. He was one of the most beautiful men I'd ever seen, and my attraction to him was undeniable, but it was an emotional connection that I wanted the most. I looked at Anna. The pain in her eyes could have killed me. She wanted more for me than a higher title at Jordan International, but I had to be sure it was what I wanted and what was best for me. Her home had always been a place where I found refuge. Now it was making me face my fears. I need a second to process all of this, I told them. And I really need to think, but I can't do that here. I set the half-empty glass on the table next to my full plate of sweets. Two things I never would have walked away from ordinarily. But the thought of putting anything else into my stomach was making it churn.
"You've done too much thinking," Bree said. "That's why we're here, to get you out of your head and into ours. We care about you, doll. You have to trust us. We only want what's best for you. And what's best is for you to lead with your heart."
I walked over to Anna and took her hand. "You're going to have to trust me, Anna, and know I'll make the right decision."
"We do," Bree said. "Of course we do," Anna added. "I know I can't protect you from everything, but as someone who's been around for almost all your life, I can't stop myself from trying. And with this in particular, I think Bree and I can see more clearly than you can."
She'd protected me from so much over the years, and I understood why she wanted to do that now. I couldn't tell her how that made me feel. The thoughts were there, but the words were stuck. So I raised her hand to my lips, and I kissed it.
"Trust me," I whispered.
Then I wrapped my arms around Bree and gave her a quick hug.
"Thank you for being such a good friend."
"He's going to accept you, Frankie," Bree said. "All of you. Even the parts Reed never did." Her statement hit harder than she probably intended it to. There were parts I hadn't given Reed because our relationship hadn't reached that level. He'd gotten farther than any man had, but there was still so much he hadn't known, so much he hadn't cared about, so much I couldn't share because our relationship couldn't handle it. I compared that against the connection I felt with Derek. Then I stopped myself. It wasn't time to go there yet. "I'll talk to you both tomorrow," I said, grabbing my purse and heading for the door, before they could say anything else. Once outside, I hailed a taxi and climbed into the back seat. I hugged my purse to my chest and leaned into the corner of the
door. "Where can I take you to,
miss?" I felt my mouth open and heard myself recite an address. But it wasn't my
own. 3. Derek. "Frankie," I said, opening the door wide enough to let her in, but she didn't move, and her expression worried me. "Are you okay?" "I should have called, I'm sorry." She wouldn't look me in the eye. I'm not even sure why I'm here." The woman standing on my front steps wasn't the same woman who had sucked my dick in her office earlier today. It looked like there was a goddamn war raging inside her head. Whatever was wrong, I hoped I could fix it, and I hoped it hadn't been caused by Reed. "Do you want to come in?" She finally looked up. "Maybe we could go for a walk?" I was wearing gray sweatpants and nothing else. "Let me grab a shirt and some shoes. I'll wait out here." I left the door open a crack and jogged up the stairs to my room. I grabbed the first t-shirt in my drawer, threw it over my head, and slipped on some running shoes. Frankie was sitting on my front steps when I returned. I gave her my hand to help her stand. She stared at it for several seconds before she took it. I didn't understand her hesitation or what she could be doubting. "Come here," I said as she got to her feet. I wanted her skin under my lips, her scent filling my nose. I needed to taste my pink ivory. She stopped me from pulling her closer. "Let's just walk." Her posture was stiff. She added space between us as she stepped onto the sidewalk, her fingers slipping from mine. There was a storm coming. I could feel it in the air. It wouldn't be much longer before the rain started and we would be caught several blocks away from my place without an umbrella or an overhang to keep us dry. Something told me she wouldn't care. She didn't break her silence until we reached the end of the block. "My father gave me the residential division of Jordan International today." She didn't sound excited, even though she should have. I knew it was something she really wanted. "Congratulations, you deserve it. Shit, you deserve the whole company." She paused on the curb, her feet teetering over the edge. "I was sitting in his office, listening to everything he was saying, and..." Her eyes looked everywhere, When they finally circled back to me, I searched them for the truth, for what she wasn't telling me. I didn't like what I saw. Say it. He commended me on what I'd sacrificed to get where I am now, and just minutes before I'd been in my office, giving you a blowjob. The disappointment was starting to break through in her voice. I could still taste you in my mouth, Derek. It didn't feel like I had sacrificed anything in that moment, or that I deserved what he was giving me. There's no way we could have known your father was going to choose that moment to promote you. Bad timing, that's all it was. But then he proceeded to tell me what I would have to sacrifice as the sole controller of that division. I shoved my hands into my pockets to stop myself from reaching for her. What are you saying? The disappointment was gone. In its place was a pain I recognized all too well. I knew where this was going. Frankie. That night I found your sister in bed with Reed. Something else happened. Something I didn't share with you when I first told you the story. Her eyes were welling. I wanted to hold her, to stop her pain as much as I wanted to stop my own. But when I reached for her, she pushed me away. I have to get this out, and if you touch me, I won't be able to. Her strength hit me so fucking hard I groaned. She didn't want me to touch her. She didn't want me to make her feel better. She certainly wouldn't want to hear that I already knew the part of the story she was going to tell me. Tell me, Frankie. A tear ran down her cheek as she nodded. I lost my baby. Her voice was so small, so weak. It happened in Reed's condo, on the floor in his bedroom. She looked up as the first crack of thunder roared above us. He pushed me. It was an accident, really. I fell. The impact made me miscarry. She had a hard time opening up. Hell, the last time she'd shared her feelings, I had to lick them out of her. I knew how difficult this was for her, and how much it hurt to retell it. Our collapse wasn't completely Reed's fault. We were both too consumed with our jobs to know what the other person needed. If we hadn't been so worried about ruining things professionally, I doubt we would have lasted as long as we did. She leaned against a stop sign and crossed her arms around her stomach. She looked into the distance, at nothing. I'm sure you're wondering why I would get pregnant with someone who I knew wasn't right for me. The pregnancy wasn't planned. I was on antibiotics, which had weakened my birth control. The news shocked us both. I don't know that I had even wanted children before that point, or if I wanted anything beyond work. It's all I've known since I was a kid. A drop hit her lip. She ignored it. I wasn't in love with Reed, but I was in love with our baby. Her finger rubbed circles over her navel as if it was still inside her. She finally looked at me. The last thing I was expecting was for you to come into my life. I wasn't looking for you, Derek. I was actually trying to avoid any type of relationship. I've been fighting my feelings, not giving you all of me. She looked at the rain as it ran down her cheeks, blending with her tears. She was stunning and vulnerable, and so fucking raw. And I'd never wanted to be with her more, be with her in every possible way, than I did right now. And now I can't get my father's demands out of my head. When I tried to tell Bree and Anna I had to make a decision, they tried to persuade me not to. They want me to be with you and to take the job. Why are you here, Frankie? My question surprised her. I know this is hard for you. It's hard for me, too. But I want you to say how you feel. You. Not Bree or Anna or your dad. Just you. She squinted as she scanned my eyes. I came here to ask you the exact same question. Why are you here, Derek? You told me you wanted more, but what does that even mean? Because I'm racking my brain trying to figure out if I can make both things work, but what if I sacrifice and it all comes to nothing? What if we don't want the same things? What if what I lost with Reed is all the happiness I'll ever be allowed? That was bullshit. What if you stop getting in the way of what you want? She may not have been ready for me to touch her, but that didn't stop me. I slid my hands around her waist, feeling her breath hitch in her throat. She wasn't going to step off this sidewalk without knowing how I felt, even if that meant sharing more with her than I had with anyone since Taylor. You make me feel things I haven't felt in a long time. When I say I want more, I mean I want more of that. Do you want me, Derek? Not my pussy, but me? I can't tell you what to do, no matter how much I want to. My fingers were slick as I tightened my grip on her. I can tell you what I want and hope that's enough. I leaned down so she could feel my words. Yes, I want you, Frankie, more than I've ever wanted anyone. I think about you. I hunger for you. I'm weakened by you. I don't believe you have to make a choice, but if you do, then you have to choose Jordan International. You've worked too hard to give it up. She stiffened in my grip, so I clamped down even harder. I think you can have everything you want. Me, your company, your father's respect, Bree and Anna's encouragement, all of it. I'm scared of fucking it all up. Her honesty made me smile. If all business owners were this humble, assholes like Randy wouldn't exist. Baby, that's why you're going to be the best boss those agents have ever had. Stronger than your father, more fierce, more determined. It shows me you want this. I brushed my lips across her cheek. Her smell and the feel of her skin were enough to make my dick hard. And it tells me how much you want us. Derek, hire more staff to help you manage it all. Restructure, delegate, only see me a few nights a week. I placed my hand on the pole above her head, trying to block some of the rain from hitting her face, and to get even closer to her. But don't let fear come between us. She chewed her bottom lip. She wasn't convinced. She needed more. Here's what I can promise. I'll always be honest with you, and I'll never lie to you. I rested my hand on her navel. I will do everything in my power to protect you, to never be the reason you're feeling pain, to never intentionally hurt you. She wanted me to let her inside. Of me, of the things I cared about. She'd seen my skin, and she'd felt it, but she hadn't seen anything beyond my surface. She needed to before she made a decision. I brought my hand up to her cheek, my thumb pressing at the corner of her mouth. It was so fucking hard not to ravage those lips. Come to my house in Portsmouth. After you spend a week with me there, you can make your decision. She hesitated before the corners of her lips spread into the faintest smile. Okay. I didn't kiss her, but goddammit, I wanted to. I just brushed my mouth over hers so I could taste her, and so she could taste me. I needed that. I needed more than that, really, but it wasn't going to happen tonight. How about this weekend, assuming you don't have to work? That was only a few days away. I could wait to see her, if that were my only choice. We'll leave early on Friday and stay late on Sunday. I'll have to check with Bree, but I'd like that. I took her hand. Jesus, Frankie, you're shivering. The air and the rain were growing colder, and she was soaked. We both were. You're coming to my townhouse so I can get you warm, then I'll drive you home. I'm not sure that's the best idea. I slipped my arm around her as we headed back toward my place. Trust me, I'm not going to touch you. Not in the way you think, anyway.
4. Frankie. I stood in the center of Derek's bathroom, the steam from the shower fogging the mirrors. The room was luxurious, richly crafted and extremely masculine, decorated in cool tones, black marble, and lots of chrome. But it was missing the naturalistic wooden elements that defined his earthy style. It didn't feel like Derek at all. What little of his townhouse I had seen didn't feel like him either. Still, it was beautiful. But not nearly as beautiful as the man standing before me. His hands were on my waist, his eyes piercing mine.
Lift your arms.
I raised them dutifully. Whether he had given me the order or not, I still had to take my shirt off. I was soaked. I didn't know it was supposed to rain this evening, but maybe it was an appropriate coincidence. Maybe it washed away the worry, the fear, and the questions, stripping me down to my core. I pulled my shirt over my head and threw it into the sink. Then he did the same with my jeans and panties, slowly dragging them down my wet legs. The material peeled away like a rind. I stood in just a bra, his hands lingering over the back clasp.
"I'm not going to touch you, sexually, I mean. But I'm going to make sure you leave here warm."
"Okay." With just one hand, he unhooked my bra, my breasts falling free as he pulled the lace away. His eyes were locked on mine as he yanked off his t-shirt and sneakers and threw both into the sink before escorting me into the shower. My eyes moved to his chest, the lobes of muscle so incredibly defined. A deeply etched set of abs followed, and a V cut across the sides of his stomach and disappeared under his waistband. His sweats sat low, held in place by a thin drawstring, clinging to him as they got wetter, making his dick visible through the fabric. Seeing it, knowing what it was capable of, made everything inside me start to tingle.
"Are you going to keep those on?" I asked.
"Yes, and don't try to take them off me."
"I won't. But I wanted to."
"The way you're looking at them, I'm not so sure."
I laughed and moved under the stream, extremely aware of the light above my head and how it highlighted every part of my body. Derek was aware of it, too. He leaned into the tiled wall and let his eyes wander all over me. I closed mine and tilted my head back to let the water wash over my face. His need was there, in the air, in his stare. Even with my eyes closed, I could sense it. I always felt it when he was near, but sometimes it was stronger, like now. It made moisture pool between my folds. I had to force myself to keep my legs shut. I moaned when his hands touched the back of my head, his caress unexpected. He massaged my scalp with shampoo, using strong, deft fingers to rub down my neck and back up to my forehead.
"Relax, Frankie."
His voice was enticing.
"I won't go any lower."
But I wanted him to. How could I have been so confused, so riddled with uncertainty and questions just a short time ago, and yet be so eased by his touch? How could the presence of his nearly naked body give me more clarity than I'd had in days? None of it made sense. Maybe it didn't need to. Not at the moment, anyway. I melted into his hands, imagining how good it would feel if they dipped lower than my neck. The smell of his shampoo mixed with the steam, and the shower was overtaken with his scent. It was a sensual scent directly associated to him, one I hadn't smelled before and one I wouldn't ever forget. When his fingers stopped kneading, he steered me back under the spray and combed out the suds. Then he lathered his hands with body wash and began massaging it over my neck and shoulders. His touch wasn't sexual, but his movements and pressure provoked the deepest feelings, causing my body to respond even more. As he continued to rub, it became all the more obvious that he was going to keep his word.
"You can go lower, Derek."
His expression hardened.
"No, I can't. And I won't."
"I'm giving you permission."
"And I'm denying you."
I took his hands in mine and tried to bring them to my stomach. He wouldn't budge.
"When you've decided that it's me who you want, and I know there's no question in your mind, I'll touch you. But not before then."
I hadn't given him an answer about my decision, and yet I was asking him to touch me. I knew how wrong it was, but the throbbing inside me was impossible to ignore. I could hear it in my breath, could see it in the way my chest was rising and falling, could feel it as I ground my waist into his. His eyes dropped, and I realized he was watching my hands, which were on my nipples. The small buds were tingling to the point of pain. If I could just rub them a bit, I could satisfy the pulsing desire. I arched into the water, letting it pour over my chest. Then I tugged harder, the heat mixing with the bursts of pleasure. I thought it would ease the feeling in my breasts, but it only heightened, as did the throbbing in my pussy. I want you. The words had slipped out, not sounding anything like me. None of this was like me.
Show me, he said.
Show him?
Touch yourself, he said,
as though he had heard my question. The throbbing only got worse as his stare darkened, urging me to give him what he wanted. So I did. Breathing in his scent, feeling his need, my hand slowly slid to the top of my clit. The pad of my finger ran the entire length of it, teasing my sensitivity as a moan exhaled through my lips.
God damn it, Frankie.
My eyes met his.
You're so fucking sexy.
Derek had once ordered me to touch myself while we had been on the phone, but this was different. I had never masturbated in front of a man before. It was more intimate, more personal. He wasn't feeling my response from the inside. He was watching it from the outside instead. And it was time to show him what he did to me, even when he kept his hands to himself. I stepped out of the stream and leaned into the shower wall with my legs spread. One hand stayed on my clit, while the other roamed my right breast, squeezing my nipple with the same strength he would use, and pumping it with my palm. Derek took a step closer, moving directly under the spray, while his hand pressed against the wall above my head. His fingers weren't on my body, but the intensity of his gaze was almost as exhilarating as his touch. In the cave he had created around me, I could feel the heat from his skin, the air from his mouth. I used both as fuel as I drove a finger inside me, the back of my wrist now rubbing my clit. Oh, God, I groaned.
Tell me.
It feels so good, Derek. Not as thick or hard or long as you, but I'm so wet, so slick, and so tight. His teeth ground together.
Fuck.
He wasn't telling me what to do, or leading me to the spots and places I enjoyed. He was merely a spectator. But I wasn't trying to entertain him. Whatever was coming out of me was an honest reaction that was caused by his presence, by his eyes watching so intently. I could sense him fighting to not touch me. My slickness grew, and my hand moved faster, my wrist pressing harder. My breathing sped up, hitting Derek's chest. His stare traveled the length of my body, observing everything I was doing. I spread my legs a bit more, flicked and pinched my nipples.
I'm so close. I can see it in your eyes, Frankie.
Tell me to come. His lips moved closer, now only inches from mine. His gaze penetrated me as though it were his tongue wiggling against my clit. More of his warmth spread over me. So did the darkness as his body blocked most of the light.
You're so gorgeous when you touch yourself.
Tell me to come, I begged again. Please. He licked his bottom lip slowly, deliciously.
I could watch you do this forever. So no, I'm not going to tell you to come. You'll do it when you're ready.
I was trying to give him control, and he'd given it right back. But even without touching me, he was in total control. His command was usually the catalyst that would bring my body to a shuddering orgasm. This time, his eyes were the trigger. I held them with mine, tilted my head into the wall, arched my back forward, and moaned after each plunge of my finger. His eyelids narrowed and his lips opened. As my orgasm came to a peak, my hand left my breast, and I slapped my palm against his chest. I hadn't realized how hard I'd hit him until I heard the noise. The cave around me began to tighten, his face moving closer, adding to the darkness as tingling bursts spread through me. Ah, I panted. He growled in response, which warmed me like the touch of his skin. Derek, I... My voice faded as the spasms ricocheted through my body.
Give into it. Enjoy it. Let it own you, baby. This is for you.
So I listened to him, and I let it own me. And as I reached the end, my limbs turned numb and my body began to weaken. He caught me in his arms and pulled me against him. My fingers stayed deep inside my pussy, my wrists still on my clit, unwilling to let go of this feeling. Once I stilled, I rested in his arms, and we moved under the direct stream. The water rained over us like it had outside, but in here I felt his erection push into me, his breathing also telling me how aroused he was. If I wanted his dick, it was there for the taking. All I had to do was tell him I'd made my decision, and we'd be climbing into that big, wonderful bed that was waiting for us outside the door. I would then submit to him, and he'd reach the deepest, most pleasurable parts of me. I couldn't do it. I needed more than that. I needed a piece of Derek that was deeper than anything he'd given to me. Something that made me believe I could handle my career and the man who owned my body at the same time. I hoped that was what I would find at his house in Portsmouth.
"Let's get you dressed," he said.
The water ran into my eyes. I have nothing to wear.
"You can put on a pair of my sweats and a flannel."
"Flannel?" I smiled at his words. "Now that's something I've always wanted to wear." His thumb tugged at my bottom lip.
"That fucking mouth."
His eyes traced it, but he didn't move in any closer.
"I've seen your wrists wrapped in my flannel. Now I want to see the rest of your body wrapped in it, too."
"Dress me, then." I wondered if he put the clothes on me, if he would immediately take them off. He helped me out of the shower and handed me a towel, his hands wringing out my hair.
"Once you're dressed, you'll stay dressed. And so will I."
He was in my head again, reading my thoughts.
"Understood."
I nodded. If Portsmouth went as well as I hoped, I had plans for what I was going to do with that flannel.
It wouldn't be staying on for very long.
And neither would his.
5. Derek. My driveway was a quarter mile long. It weaved through a wide strip of forest before mushrooming into a full acre of cleared land. I drove slowly to add to the anticipation, watching Frankie's face as the trees began to thin. As she took it all in, her reaction didn't disappoint. It wasn't the most dramatic house I'd ever built, and it wasn't even close to the most expensive. But it was the one that made me the proudest, the one I'd dreamed about since I was a kid. My father and I had worked on the blueprints late at night after the dishes were done and my homework was finished. Every inch of under-roof square footage had been planned for, and I'd watched compulsively while it was under construction. Only Will, my building crew, and my family had been inside this house. That would change today, for my pink ivory. She studied the house, her hand reaching for mine. "It's even better than I'd imagined." She sighed and finally glanced at me. It looked as if everything had suddenly fallen into place. "It's beautiful, Derek." "You haven't seen the interior yet, or the view." Her lips spread into the widest grin. "I can't wait." I grabbed her suitcase from the back and helped her out of my Suburban. She continued staring at the house, not breaking contact as we crossed the grass. When we stepped inside, she paused in the foyer, taking in the beams that ran across the ceiling, the expansive walls, and the intricate floors. Finally, she looked through the windows at the back of the house, where the ocean lapped onto my rocky beach. "This is so... you. All of it." It was me. Every color and texture, every decoration and fixture, every piece of hardware and furniture. Even the lighting. All me. My place in Boston was sterile, steel and cold, like the women I brought there and the sex we had. I didn't want my place in the city to resemble me, and I didn't want it to feel like home. All that was reserved for Portsmouth. I found her hand again and brought her toward the back of the house, through the sliding glass doors. The porch wrapped around the whole backside and looked down at the basement level below and out over the Atlantic. The smell of salt was strong, and the pine and the fresh-cut grass. They were scents I'd been missing in the city. It's perfect. She leaned into the wooden banister. I couldn't wait for her to be holding it with both hands, her naked ass cheeks spread wide for me. Now I know why you love it here so much. The view is hard to beat. Not just the view, Derek. She turned toward me. It's so intimate and warm here, so natural and understated. Not one piece overpowers another. Everything is just so beautiful. I don't know what to look at first, and it all just blends so seamlessly. So balanced. She hesitated at the word. I want to show you something else. I gently pulled her hand, leading her to the far side of the balcony and down the staircase. We moved across the lawn toward an enlarged shed that faced the woods. I unlocked the door and reached inside to flip on the light. She released my hand and walked in. Oh, my God! It wasn't state-of-the-art, and it didn't have the most expensive gear, but it was filled with brands I had grown up using, machines and tools that fit my hands, surfaces I was comfortable working on. It was everything I needed. This was my place. She looked over her shoulder and caught my eye. This workshop is incredible. I've never seen anything like it. I leaned against the doorframe and watched her run her fingers over the worktops, across the sides of the saws and the bases of the sanders. Hell, I wished those fingers were touching me the same way. She crossed her arms over her chest as she stared at my collection of raw lumber, slabs that were divided into specially designed racks. Eventually the slabs would turn into something, whatever inspired me in that moment, and then I would give it away. Nothing said pretentious like a house full of self-made pieces, so I rarely kept the things I made. I got more satisfaction in giving them as gifts. Frankie moved to the back of the room and stopped in front of the three-tiered bookcase. The shelves were empty, except for a picture of me and my father, and an antique claw hammer. It was the first and last tool he had ever given me. It's pink, she said, turning toward me, her hand on the wood. She stared into my eyes as I walked over to her. Pink ivory? I traced the edge where the shelves met the outer casing. It is. My home was one of the most personal things I owned, a place I kept locked and hidden from almost everyone. This workshop was the other. The workshop where I built and designed, sanded and stained every piece I created. Where I applied the skills my father had taught me. Having Frankie in here created feelings that were stronger than I'd had before. Stronger than I had for Taylor. For anyone. Did you make this? She asked. I never discussed this memory, not even with my mother or with Hayden. They didn't have an appreciation for craftsmanship, and they would never understand how monumental that day was for my father and me. I was 7. My father and I were working on a job together, remodeling a 2-story home office. A shipment of lumber had been delivered for the 2nd-floor library, and some of the planks were pink ivory instead of the oak the client had requested. When we returned the following morning, we found it all in the dumpster outside his house. So we took them out, loaded them into the truck, and stored them in our basement. For a week, we spent our nights making this bookcase, my father teaching me about certain cuts and the rarity of different woods. I was more of an assistant back then. But yes, I helped make it. I didn't realize I wanted to tell her this until it was all coming out of me. She lifted the picture off the shelf. It was of the two of us, kneeling on the floor, sawing slabs of pink ivory. This is him? I nodded. You don't talk about him. I took a deep breath, shifting my eyes to the bookcase, then slowly finding hers again. She had revealed her pain. It had happened over stages, but she had eventually voiced it. Mine was as deep. It was also layered. He's dead, Frankie. He has been for a while. I didn't know. There's no way you could have. She couldn't have known anything about that time in my life, and unless she figured out that the word tattooed on my body was more than just a color, She never would. Unless Reed told her. I lost my mom to breast cancer when I was 4, she said, interrupting my thoughts. That's when Anna came into my life, to help my father raise me. Will had learned about her mother's death when he had researched her before our first meeting. He'd also uncovered the various women her father had dated over the years. I'm sorry, I'm not comparing my situation to yours. I just understand loss. That's all. She might understand loss, but she didn't understand revenge. I was going to fucking destroy Randy for taking my father away from me. If I made a comment, I knew where this conversation could lead to. So I said nothing. I had revealed enough for one day. I took her hand in mine and brought it to my mouth, pressing my lips against her palm. Coconut. Amber. I could have eaten those smells off her, and I would soon enough. Let me show you the rest of the house. She smiled. I'd like that.
6. Frankie. I sat on the counter in the kitchen with a glass of Pinot Noir in my hand, swinging my legs back and forth in the air. Derek stood in front of the gas range, a spatula in his hand, sautéing a mix of seafood. The kitchen was filling with the most decadent scent. How did I not know you could cook? The only places we had ever eaten together were at the Hole, though we never actually stayed long enough to get our food, at the hotel and at my condo. He had never once hinted that he enjoyed cooking.
I don't do it all that often, but I know my way around a kitchen.
You sure do. I stared at his ass as I took a sip. It looks good on you, too. He trimmed his delicious beard. It was shorter than I'd ever seen it, tight around the edges, but still rough. And it would still be startling if he dragged it over my skin. And my skin was craving it. My phone vibrated from my back pocket. Reed's name showed on the screen. I clicked the ignore button and tucked it into my jeans, wishing he would leave me alone. I didn't understand why he wouldn't, considering I had ignored his texts and calls over the past several days. Derek glanced over his shoulder, a grin on his lips. It made me forget all about Reed.
Are you saying you want more?
That was his way of asking if I had made a decision. The truth was, the minute we had parked outside his house, I had confirmed what I wanted. Derek was someone worth fighting for. This was the side of him I wanted to get to know, not the multi-million-dollar developer, not the client who I had to report my progress to and negotiate contracts with. Not the one who, like myself, was emotionally blocked. Getting the chance to see inside Derek's home was like finally getting the chance to see inside his tightly buttoned flannel. The realization made me smile, much like I had when I'd entered his wood shop. Things were going to take time, and there was a way to make it all work. I just had to find my way toward it. The possibility is definitely there, I said. His grin grew as he turned back to the stove.
Good.
My eyes traveled around the room, once again taking in all its beauty, its rustic chic charm, the masculine colors and warm tones. Besides the bedrooms and bathrooms, the entire house was an open floor plan. It felt as though I were inside the trunk of a tree, in a perfect sculpted loft overlooking the peaceful Atlantic. Wood was used as accessories, it covered the floor, it formed built-ins in the entertainment wall. It had even been worked into the lighting and fixtures. There was certainly an abundance of it, but it wasn't too much at all. And if it were mine, I would have a difficult time leaving it, a thought that had crossed my mind several times already. I could picture myself living there, our lives meshing in this house, not changing a thing except for adding my clothes to his closet. I'd seen thousands of homes in all the years I'd been in real estate, some of the most expensive penthouses in the city, estates in Cape Cod. None of them compared to this house. This home had been built with heart. I could feel it in the air, see it on every surface. And this one belonged to Derek.
Do you mind grabbing me another beer?
He asked, handing me his empty bottle. I jumped off the counter and grabbed an IPA from the back of the fridge. He kissed me as I set it down next to him. I tasted the butter on his lips from when he had sampled the sauce. It was savory, even more so because he made it. Because the flavors had come from a mouse I so desperately desired. As my eyes left his face, the lighting fixture that hung in the living room caught my attention. It was pieces of wood shaped like antlers, aged and rustic, with lights woven through the various levels. It took a second to realize why it looked so familiar. That's the same chandelier that was in the hotel room we stayed in. He looked to where my finger pointed.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. I could only see his profile, but he wasn't hiding his smile very well. My job is to notice details, and this is one I could never forget. It's not a coincidence, is it?
No, it's not.
I don't understand. I turned him toward me, resting the spatula on the side of the pan, so I could hold both his hands. What did you do? His breath hit my cheek.
I had my decorator swap out some of the decor in the hotel room.
Why? He just stared intently, saying nothing. Do you change the decor in every hotel you stay at? He laughed.
Hell no.
Then why, Derek?
I wasn't ready to bring you here, so I tried to bring here to you.
He'd hired his decorator to make the hotel room look like his house? I didn't understand why he wouldn't have told me that. As though it were something simple that didn't matter, something that wasn't worth speaking about. It wasn't simple at all, and it wasn't just worth noting. It was a gesture I would cherish. You cared enough to do that for me, I said. Even then.
I wanted that room to be special for the night I had planned for you. I wanted it to feel like me.
It did. His thumb grazed my bottom lip, his eyes tracing it with the same speed.
And here. Are you starting to feel me?
His layers were slowly being peeled away, and I was enjoying everything I saw beneath. Yes. I feel like I'm finally learning who you are.
I'm going to show you more.
I know. I kissed him quickly. I wanted it to last longer, but I knew the timing wasn't right yet. And I can't wait.
7. Derek. During dinner, Frankie told me she wanted to spend some time in the wood shop and make something together. I'd never taught anyone before, never created with anyone other than my father. But the idea of designing a piece with her, our hands running over the same wood, enticed me. Hell, it was the biggest fucking turn-on. So after we cleaned the kitchen, she told me to go ahead, and she'd meet me there with some drinks. Leaving her inside, I walked down the back steps and took out the key from my pocket. A head start gave me time to choose the wood, to feel the warmth of a thick plank of walnut, a knotted slab of oak, or the smooth surface of bamboo. I hoped it would tame me, calm me down. Otherwise, Frankie was going to find herself on top of one of those surfaces instead of sanding it. As I reached the front of the workshop, my phone beeped. Hayden. I got the name of another one. He's been injured a year. I'm meeting him in the morning. He'll sign, I'm sure of it. Me. Good job, be careful. Call me if you need me. I dropped my phone back in my pocket and unlocked the door. In my stockpile was a piece of red sandalwood that had the same finish as her home office, and there was just enough wood to make a few bookends. Having no experience, it would be a good project for her to start with. Not too much cutting or sanding, and it wouldn't take us long to finish. I could show her how to... My thought ended when I saw her in the doorway. I'm sorry I've kept you waiting, Mr. Block. She had on one of my flannels and a pair of heels. And nothing else. It rested over her braless tits and hard nipples and landed in the center of her long, lean thighs. The unbuttoned collar exposed the soft, sensually scented neck I loved to devour. Her hair was in messy waves, perfect to grip between my fingers and pull her toward my cock. Fuck. Frankie had